Mud Podcast presents.
This is Tech Mud on KMud, where we talk about technology, the good, the bad, and the very scary. And I am joined by Rick. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Garth. How's it going? Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for covering the show last month. I listened to it on one of my commutes. It sounded like a good one.
It was a lot. I actually have some follow-up stuff I'll throw in when we're doing news, but I'll be quick. So anyway, great. Yeah,
there's always stuff there's always too much stuff, right? And speaking of technology, I've got to get together with help with some of the KMud tech too, but the audio stuff kind of baffles me sometimes. But on our Zoom connection here, we can kind of hear our theme music, but it's like very faint. Do you get that same effect?
It kept fading in and out.
Yeah, but it sounds great to the people on the air and over the stream. So that's one of those mysteries that
maybe it's being overdriven by the audio, you know, and so it's limiting it. I don't know. I don't know how that fee is fed into Zoom. I mean, it's going through a regular computer.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, we're here to talk about technology, and at 30 minutes past the hour, we can take calls and questions and all that sort of thing. I know historically we've talked a lot about like the Consumer Electronics Show CES on this month, and I'm sure this will be no exception. There's definitely some interesting tech gadgets. So I almost feel like CES, it's a rerun of last year. It's AI everything and TV screens and this and that, but there's a few exceptions to that for sure.
It's interesting how, you know, I mean, it is expanding in different industries, because I remember when I used to go, there was never any cars there. And now you have all kinds of, you know, things of that nature. And of course, it's always so huge. You know, I was watching several YouTubes and I was kind of happy I wasn't there, because there were times where it was packed, you know, and it looked very busy.
Yeah, no, certainly. But before we delve into the CES stuff, I did want to briefly comment on some local tech news, and then and chat about the amount of fake video and audio and pictures from the LA fires. All this stuff that it seems like any major disaster these days. Maybe this is the first time I've really paid attention to it. This is sort of close to us. But what a lot of stuff out there that's just, some stuff it's totally harmless, but a lot of fake stuff out there. Have you noticed that?
Oh yeah. And if you're not paying attention, they, not only is there fake stuff, but they're using elements from when the fire was rip roaring. And so you go to look it up and it's like, oh my gosh, the fire is still burning out of control. I mean, they barely had a flare up today. I mean, those guys have done an outstanding job getting a handle on things. And I mean, they still got a ways to go. They're not totally, you know, out of the hills, as one might say, but they are making progress.
No, it was interesting. I happened to actually be traveling through there, through the Burbank airport before those fires started, and I was starting to see the red flag warnings pop up on your phone and stuff, and then I passed through, and then I came back and the whole place was burning down. And I mean, my heart goes out to, I mean, I know actually a lot of people have family members down there that you know, that are living up here. It's really very apocalyptic looking. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And it's unfortunate, you know. I was talking to my partner. I don't know how you would prevent that from happening in lieu of, you can't stop the wind. And really the only way to fight it is not make a fire. And then it is kind of, you know, when I look at the position of a lot of those fires, there's something kind of suspicious to me. And of course, I'll let the professionals figure it out.
Well, I think one of them was definitely caused by an arsonist of some sort. I kind of myself scoff at the Jewish space lasers setting it off, or anybody's space lasers. Though, interestingly enough, I did. That was one of the AI images I saw. And in fact, I was messing around. I was like, "Huh, okay, let me see if I can make a." What I wanted was a large DJI looking Chinese drone with a blue laser emitting from it, starting a fire in a desert like landscape. And it took me a while, but I got kind of an image that some people might be, you know, I'm not going to share it, but it's, you know, it could be definitely one of the many that I've seen in terms of fake news.
Yeah, I'm suspicious of a lot of stuff. My partner can be easily gullible with images on the internet, you know, like, oh, look at that. I can't believe that does that. Or look how cute that is. And I'm like going, no, that's fake. Like she showed me one, even though it's not necessarily the same, but it was a jet that was doing these amazing vertical like movements and landing and taking off. And she goes, wow, can they do that? And I said, well, yeah, they can do a lot. But at the same time, you notice when it did that over the water didn't bubble. I mean, those are huge thrusters, you know, it would make that water boil. So there is a lot of that. You've got to look for clues. And it's getting, let's face it, it's getting harder and harder.
It'll get better and better. And there was some heartwarming video that I saw being shared around locally on social media of like firefighters saving all these wild animals and taking care of them. And it was like one scene to the next. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, this is totally just AI created video. It's like all these like deer and, you know, bobcats and you name it.
Noah's Ark.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and it was that, I don't think that's harmful necessarily. I mean, that was kind of like a cute video, right? It's not exactly causing harm, but I mean, right now I have any number of the Chat GPT has offered, I think it's in a paid for service, but this AI video creation tool called Sora, S-O-R-A. And I've been playing around with that, and I heard a little buzzing in the background. Sounds like we have
still doing it. Oh, man, yeah. I moved my phone. Maybe it was me.
Gotcha. But anyway, this Sora video creation program, you can take a picture, like a picture of your pet cat or whatever, and say, hey, make this cat jump in the air or eat a burger or something. And it kind of takes the image that you gave it and it kind of turns into not your cat anymore, but it does what you say, you know, it's getting there.
Well, it is impressive. And we're going to see a huge shift, you know, with AI in so many ways, you know, and I think one of the things we'll see is, you know, there will be movies in the near future, which will be, you know, more and more AI generated. You know, it may have Bruce Willis, you know, doing another Christmas movie for, you know, saving the world and crawling through elevators, you know, and it's not really going to be him. So yeah, we're going to see a lot in the future.
Yeah. And that seems like a fine use for it. And it's here to stay. So, hey, I mean, I'm willing to embrace it on a certain level, but it's something that I've noticed that my kids tend to pick it out pretty easily too. They're like, oh yeah, that's AI, you know? And so it's training your brain to be like, what is that? Is that real or is it not? And when does it become so real that you can't tell?
Well, you know, I like always, I collect a ton of news, and some of the news stories that were AI is that, you know, AI is going to start making, you know, start selling your choices before you even make them, you know, because it is analyzing people. And the other one was that AI is soon going to be able to manipulate people's online decision making. And it's exactly for that reason, because they'll put stuff on the screen and it sort of influences your thought pattern and your, you know, and what you're doing. And so it is going to get.
Yeah, they're taking an advertising algorithm sort of and making the AI kind of modify that sort of. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, I think the article is really talking about the fact that you've got companies like maybe it's Google or whoever, Meta and all these, the type of information they provide you, it doesn't have to be an ad. I've noticed, I watch a ton of YouTubes, and we use our Roku box, and we've become quite, you know, it's become like an everyday thing. We use it to watch news and political satire and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, totally.
And I've noticed more and more fake news stories from, you know, what I would say unreliable sources. And they're going to one extreme to the other. But the other part of it is the way the algorithm is putting those stories up for us to see them, because it's, you know, it's kind of a really simplistic search, and you're just kind of going through and, you know, it's saying, okay, these are recently updated, this is recommended. And at that point, I think there is a huge amount of influence possible. I mean, we've already had, and, you know, my partner's already said, oh, this is happening. I'm going, no, I don't think so. And what I...
Well, we've definitely... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, what I do nowadays is that, you know, a news story pops up. Maybe it's some, you know, something that has happened. And I scroll through. If I don't see multiple sources coming up with the same news story, I pretty much account it to being fake.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, there are some stuff that, I mean, there's been accusations of, well, over the years, growing up in a kind of leftist political family, over the years, there's always been accusations of the American media or corporate media, quote unquote, kind of not so much censoring, but not reporting on some stories. But usually that means you can do a search more broadly, and that's what the internet's good for, and kind of compare and see, okay, oh, look, all these Middle Eastern states are reporting this, or, you know, it's a slightly different thing.
I remember there was a website that was excellent. I was bringing, you know, news right when it hit the, you know, right when it happened, and they got bumped off the air because, you know, it interferes with the ability for them to manipulate people. And I want to move on to other parts, but, you know, like the nightly news, when you watch the national nightly news.
Yeah, pick your network or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you watch the three major networks, and they really are basically the same news. The only thing that they have different is sort of a feel-good story at the end. You know, and
different feel good. I have noticed that it seems like all of them have to throw in the, because mostly, I mean, we have to admit that most top news stories are not happy. You got to throw in the happy one at the end.
Yeah, they usually throw that in, you know, in between the tons of commercials, how some drug is going to save my life, make me smile, you know. And
yes.
But I'm just pointing out that, you know, here's three major networks. They really should have different SKUs and not see me. It's almost like someone scripted it. You know, they all are using the same script, even though they're totally independent networks. So I think there's manipulation at that level. I think this new administration is going to take it to the ninth degree. And we're going to see.
I mean,
it'll
be interesting. I mean, I used to use Twitter back in the day for breaking news stories and found it quite useful for that. Now it's morphed into something else entirely. So,
well, that's another unfortunate thing, because that was about free speech at one time. And now it's about, you know, the king playing with his kingdom, deciding what he wants. You know, I mean, there's already been, there was a great video we watched that showed all the things that the owner of X now has, you know, did. And it's amazing, you know, like something he was saying wasn't getting, you know, enough hits. He went back to his team and he made it so he got thousands more, you know, times more.
Yeah,
than the other person,
when you own the platform and you can tweak it to however you want.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
maybe it was worth those billions.
Well, that's why he bought it, was to manipulate, you know, the public in many other ways. So anyway, there's definitely a lot. Garth, let me throw, there was a couple of follow-up stories I just want to throw out there.
Sure,
real quick.
I'm
not going to go into detail, but one of the stories was the California renewables actually recorded 98 days of powering the California, which kind of went with another story. Research say that the credibility of research or the credibility of research is suffers in our society now because of the fake stories. And one of the stories was like this news journal published a thing about black plastic studies saying that there wasn't no issue. Well, now they've been removed completely from the science index because it was so far off base. One of the other things that I thought was interesting, there was this really cute robot kind of teddy bear called Moxie, and they're shutting down, unfortunately. And I got their name of the company wrong. It's called Embodied. And anyway, the point is that they are trying to turn the robot into open source so that your robot doesn't shut down. And they're telling users, if you have one, please go do the upgrade, because once their servers shut down, you won't be able to upgrade it. So go and get it. If you happen to be one of those people with the $800 teddy bear, go get it upgraded.
Well, Rick, I didn't spend the $800 on the teddy bear, but if I had, I would definitely try to open source it quickly.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, it also makes me kind of nervous at the concept, and just the tangent, just a tad. The idea that, you know, you have this robot that's designed for 5 to 10 year olds, and now all of a sudden it's going to be open source. So that means someone could slip in malicious actions because it doesn't have that, you know, corporate overseer, you know, kind of looking at it.
Right.
So anyway,
it's not a closed ecosystem. Yeah. Well, it makes me jump to like some, you know, creating a fictional story about the, you know, it's like one of those teddy bears gone wrong, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Which is cute, but also scary. Here, I want to throw in a couple science tech news things because people should need to know this stuff. Starlink Mini is now available. It weighs 17 pounds or 15 pounds, and it fits in a backpack.
I've used one. One of my friends had one camping. Interesting.
And, you know, it's like $160 for the full service, but you can get the $50 service, which will give you 50 gig. Which is a good, you know, possible.
I was unclear on that, actually, and I'd like to do some more research because I've heard conflicting reports. Like, I've heard that you have to have a home service in order to get that cheap travel service for the Starlink.
Perhaps. Another thing is, I don't know if people have you heard of Z-Wave. It's used to do a lot of controlling devices or talking to devices.
Yeah. And, it's like and a standard, kind of like mesh.
IoT standard for IoT things, but it doesn't necessarily need the internet, but it's that communication. Anyway, they've created like a mesh network. Well, now there's a company that has been able to get it to go a mile range, which is crazy. And you know, that it can go that far. There's some new sensors that have just, this company has, you know, developed these nanoscale sensors for force, you know, detection. And it's so accurate. It uses crystals that it's allowing them to do something we never have been able to do at that level. So we're talking kind of like how your finger can sense things or your skin. We're getting to the point where we're going to have great sensors now. And here's one that was real dear to my heart. As far as me liking it, there's a company that's now building a nuclear diamond battery, and the battery can go for like, you know, 10 or 15 years. Maybe I think it actually goes more. It might even get to a few hundred years. And the thing is, it doesn't generate much power. It's like about a quarter of what you get out of an AA battery. However, the concept is, it will continue generating power where that AA battery under the same conditions would run out in a week. So, you know, I had mentioned this to me is the heart of what we need to go after for power, where you have something small, something that works dependably, and then you just put so many of them together that you have enough power to run cities. But there is something kind of funny. Enron, the company that had, you know, everyone says, you know, like when my partner starts, you know, going nuts trying to shred papers, I tell her she's going Enron. Anyway, right. They're planning to come out with an egg-shaped nuclear reactor for a home. So the idea is that you would have your own personal little reactor in your home, a small one.
It sounds very 1950s. Like,
well, and they might be able to do it, even though I don't know if I'd trust the company. And the world's first gridded nuclear fusion plant has been awarded a contract. It's planning. They still got to work out the bugs, but they're going to put one together in the U.S., and it's supposedly could do about 150,000 homes.
We've talked about the large tech companies ramping up deals to either have nuclear power or just purchase nuclear power from other companies. And I did watch a whole little small news story on I think it's Microsoft that's trying to partner with the 3 Mile Island plant infamy. And it's a big process because it's almost easier to build something new rather than try to restart this shuttered plant that I think the last reactor closed in the 90s. Because you're going through and you're having to test all these steam lines and replace stuff. I'm like, wow, this is quite a process. It'll be interesting to see how this works.
Technology, though, you know, this is my
point. That's the older technology, yeah.
Yeah, it's old technology. You know, we've made a lot of advances. If we were to do that, think about the computers that they used back when they built that thing. I mean, they were like TSR-80s. Oh, here's something that I found really funny.
They're using the same ones.
Yeah, they're still using them. Someone actually was able to port Doom, you know, the game, you know what Doom is. A lot of people
play it 3D video via phone line. I would call up the local BBS operator,
anyway,
Bill Wagner.
The guy, I remember him. The guy actually ported it over to run in a PDF file. So I was just, my jaw kind of dropped when I think about and it just shows you how, if you can run Doom in a PDF file, gosh, what else can you do? Which was
that's crazy. Exactly why you shouldn't click on random links.
a couple more things, and then we'll get on the other good stuff. There's this VPN thing that you let other people use your connection, and what could go wrong? Well, it turns out that other people are taking advantage of using. You know, they use it to get around in this game, and it lets anyone hack into it, and it's kind of what could go wrong. You know, you're sharing your connection that way. And I'll just do one more. Those new license plates that are coming out that are digital license plates, well, they've already been hacked, and so, you know, these guys have been able to take the license plate and then display other people's information so that when they drive through the toll, someone else pays the fine. You know, it's just
There you go. I just got a $10.50 toll. Hey, maybe we can get a hack around that.
Yeah, exactly. So the drones and this aircraft thing is getting kind of crazy, isn't it?
Let me remind folks you're listening to Tech Mud right here on K Mud. It's 7:26, and you got Garth and Rick here, and Larry is our stalwart engineer. Thank you, Larry. And we'll be opening the phone line soon, 923-3911. Yeah, going back to the fires in L.A., they're having massive issues with civilian drone traffic, or what we assume is civilian and not malicious traffic. A lot of them are just the little mini drones like I have that are that they're below the weight that you need a license to operate. But they've taken out one of those Canadian firefighting planes.
It put a good size in the wing. It put a good size hole, you know, about a golf ball.
Yeah, a golf ball size hole. Yeah, you run into one of those things at speed, but it's interesting because they don't have a way to really combat that, or not that they have employed. You know, they can't just clear out the drones from the airspace. They just have to, you know, plead with people, don't fly your drones while we're trying to put out this fire, please.
There is somewhat of a way, because they can do electronics that interferes, but I think that they fear if they do that, it might interfere with the aircraft, and that's more important.
Exactly.
If they're trying to fight fires, so.
Yeah, no, that's...
Yeah, and I know that the government is looking at banning all Chinese drones now.
DJI is on the mark, and TikTok, maybe this might be the end for TikTok, too, speaking of Chinese apps and drones.
Yeah, but they're doing that it's kind of funny because TikTok is actually pushing users to go to another sister platform, apparently called like Lemon 8 or something like that, you know, and it's kind of like.
And the odd thing is that platform, I don't know if it's TikTok doing that. It might have been just some sort of ground surge from, you know, some famous people, but that app wasn't prepared for that either. It's not for Americans. It's like all in Mandarin Chinese. It's not designed for an American audience, which is interesting. But there are, I mean, there's social media people that are hired all around that part of their job is to post stuff to TikTok. You know, it's interesting.
Well, you know, look, there are people that have made a lot of money just posting to YouTubes, and it seems like, you know, there is a pattern, whether it's TikTok or whether it was Facebook or, you know, X or Twitter or whatever. Yeah, you know, there's been people that have been able to capitalize on posting things.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
Caller. Hi, caller.
Hey, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. My mother was hacked in July, and she had some sort of FTC warning pop up on her screen that they said she'd been hacked, and they tricked her into sending money to, you know, nowhere land.
And yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, she. Let's see. The information you might want to know is Windows 8. For OEM software, since she couldn't tell me what brand computer she has, and Norton for security. Is McAfee better? And if not, do you have a recommendation for better security?
I don't like Norton or McAfee.
I second that. I like Bitdefender. I like, you know, there's a few others. But the thing is, if you're running Windows 8, you are running a vulnerable system, unfortunately. Yeah. Microsoft,
it's too old.
You know, yeah, it's too old, and they don't support it anymore. And they're pushing now. I mean, people who are running Windows 10 have got maybe, I don't know, 9 months left before cut off a support. Yeah.
Oh, so she was right to say she should throw away her computer.
Well, or upgrade it, you know, somehow.
Yeah, you might be able to upgrade it.
Unfortunately, what I do is I still have a computer that I run old XP on, but the trick is it never touches the internet. I use it for my 3D printer and stuff. I don't let it get online. So vulnerable.
In the case that, like, you were talking about, if something popped up on the screen and then she called, a lot of security software won't stop that. That is, and it's just the same as it won't stop a phone call coming in and letting somebody into the computer. You know, if you, the user, let somebody into the computer, then the security software is kind of a moot point sometimes. It's more about, like, training and thinking about it.
Once they're into your system, if you get a new computer, aren't they still in your system?
I mean, you could let them in.
But the thing is, caller, one of the things that people have to train themselves on is that, you know, you don't get a lot of the antivirus and other tools like that. They go out and they tell you you've been infected, and then they try to, you know, try to isolate the file. Whereas if you're on a website and all of a sudden you get something that pops up that says your computer has been infected, and it's not from the software you use on your computer.
It's a fake message. Yeah.
It's a fake message. You know, it's trying to get you to call the phone number for tech support that's, you know.
I get people calling me up all the time, and a lot of those fake messages come with audio, and it goes, your computer is infected, do not turn it off. And I'm like, okay, first, turn off your computer, or find the speakers at least and turn it off.
You know? July, since this incident, her computer has slowed down. That's why I believe that there's a problem in
there. If she let people into the computer, if they remoted in, and the computer hasn't been cleaned up since or sanitized or looked at, then quite possibly they still have access to the computer, yes.
So Bitdefender's better than Norton, and I'm trying to see what advice I can give her to reprotect herself.
Real quick, I don't think you really even need to pay for antivirus a lot of the times. And this, I'm speaking from a somebody that sells antivirus. Usually, if you get a good ad blocker in your web browser, and I like Malwarebytes to do scans with.
That's
if
you're going to pay some.
Bitdefender's pretty good too, but it's there's a number of antivirus softwares. I use NSYSoft. It's an Australian product. Really, if you have installed software that allows someone to remote in, a lot of times that's legitimate software. It's like what I use to remote into people's computers. The antivirus program's not going to detect that.
Yeah, and caller, the other big takeaway is that, you know, if you're running Windows 8, you're connecting to the internet, you're probably going to get infected, even if you're not doing anything wrong. There's the number of vulnerabilities on computers and networks these days is huge. So the only way to be safe is to have the most current software that runs your operating system, which in the Windows world is Windows 11. And, you know, Apple, what is it, 18 or something like that, you know? You're chasing your tail trying to find your tail trying to find antivirus that's going to protect her on an old software. It's like trying to, you know, take Swiss cheese and use it as a raft. It's just not going to float.
Okay, yeah, Rick, this is John Gutierrez. Anyway,
hey, John.
So she needs a newer computer or to update her software, and...
Yeah, probably going to be a newer computer. Microsoft has kind of, unfortunately, my friend, they've taken and made it really difficult on everyone. You know what I mean? Because you can't... A computer from, you know, a few years ago... It's like Apple, you know, their old phones are still a good piece of hardware, but if they don't support the OS, you know, it just, you can't do anything about it. So I think you know, the bottom line is, yes, we're talking about a new computer, and yes, it's going to be with Windows 11. You know, another option too might be to get a Chromebook, you know, and it's not a full-on computer, but then if she does stuff on her computer, just don't connect it to the internet. She still can do those things. And if she needs to get on the internet, she uses her Chromebook.
Her Chromebook. Is that what you
said? Yeah, it's a very inexpensive computer that just gets online and just does basic stuff. You can't really install software really on it. You know, it's just to get you on the internet.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, well... Anyway, no, that's the idea. You know, you're talking a $100 or $200 investment, and you can have a computer that she can surf the web and go to her Facebook and all those other things. At the same time, you know, she has that special program to do, I don't know, accounting, or maybe it's, you know, weaving, or, you know, anyway.
One of these computer security people need to come here and actually do that, since she doesn't know what she's doing?
I think you're still trying to say you're going to fix her Windows 8 machine.
I'm worried that even if she gets a new computer, the virus is still in there somehow.
No. The virus is, no. I doubt very much the virus will follow her in that way. But the website she goes to or the things she does online may be a draw for them.
Because technically, don't they have her passwords and her bank account numbers by now?
I don't know.
Well,
I mean, again,
so,
I don't know.
So when you're compromised like that, caller, the first thing you do is you call. If the hacker is, like, if you let them into the computer and they've gone and, like, looked at stuff, you call your financial institutions and your credit cards and you cancel them. You know, you stop them.
Yeah.
And again, how much does she, you know, at one moment you're saying she's not very technical, and the next moment you're making it sound like she's doing all this online banking and purchases and all kinds of stuff with her computer.
I would think that her account numbers and her passwords are, well, your password especially, you can't do anything without that, can you?
We're
kind of operating on some unknown factors, so it's hard to guess. We do have another caller, but...
Rick. Oh, by the way, Steve says hi.
Oh, cool.
Motes. All right. Cool. Talk to you guys later.
Right on, John.
All right. Yeah, thanks for your call. Yeah, it's hard to say, but I mean, sometimes people just call you up and you don't let them into your computer, and then, you know, that's no problem. But if they're, you know, if they've spent 2 hours inside your computer installing software, then yeah, you gotta kind of check it out, clean it up.
I, you know, Garth, I've been telling you, I've got something that I think is suspicious on my computer. And the way I found it is kind of weird, because I always use the same screensaver, and I intentionally did this years ago. I put on the frames per minute, and I look at that at a glance, you know?
Frames per second. And, frames per second.
And, you know, the point is that when my computer gets impacted, that bogs down. Okay. Now I'm running Linux. I can't go more than 2 weeks before my computer is impacted. By within 2 weeks, it's running slow again. Part of it might be is I don't have enough system resources for the things that I do. Part of it is I use Firefox, which seems to have some sort of memory hole thing where, you know, it eats up memory.
I've noticed that with Chrome too. Like it becomes this gargantuan, like gigabytes and gigabytes of your RAM.
It just eats it up. But you know, again, this is my fix, and I should have told the caller that. You know, you could do the Linux boot thing like I do, and still use that old computer running.
Yeah, that's
Linux.
True. But if you're willing to embrace Linux a little bit, you can. That's the way to keep usable older computers alive. There's those lightweight. It doesn't take much, right, Rick? I mean, it's not a power hungry thing.
No, I boot from a USB. You know, a little 8 gigabyte USB that, you know, I created. The problem is though, you got to go through the motions of creating it. B, we know that most users. Yeah, got a caller.
I got two waiting, looks like.
Okay, let's go with them.
All right, caller. Yes.
Okay. This is Bud.
Hey, Bud.
Hey, I got 4 books I want to recommend to anybody that is on the computer. Okay, well, the one is The Age of Surveillance Capitalism by Shoshana Zuboff.
Sounds good.
Okay. The other one is Targeted by Brittany Kaiser. Write this down, you guys. And the other one, and another one, is Christopher Wiley, and his book is called Mind F blank CK. And the last one I want to recommend is Hate Inc. by Matt Taibbi. And if you read these 4 books, you'll likely throw your cell phone and your computer in the freaking trash. They have caused people to go and annihilate another people in Africa.
Yeah. But hang on a second. I want to throw something out as a tech tip, and then I want you to go back and read those titles again. There's a cool website called zlibrary.to, and it's awesome because there's a ton of books available, and you can download them as PDFs and read it online. And so it's called zlibrary.to. So what are those titles again that you were recommending?
Okay, The Age of Surveillance Capitalism by Shoshana Zuboff. Another one is Targeted by Brittany Kaiser, and she worked for Cambridge Analytica. And also Christopher Wiley, Mind F-U-C-K, and he worked for Cambridge Analytica. And everybody knows about Matt Taibbi, and he wrote a book called Hate Inc., Hate Incorporated. And these 4 books are crucial for anyone that uses the internet because of the danger of how much power they have to control the way we think, what we think, and you know, it's total mind control.
It is. And you know, I know some of your background, so I trust you when you tell us stuff, because I know you were involved with, you know, stuff. And the bottom line is it is happening to us. We are being manipulated. Mm-hmm. And like an example, Google is bringing back fingerprint. Okay. Fingerprint is basically not a fingerprint the way you think about it, but it is the fact that it looks at your internet connection. It looks at the information available from your browser and your computer and everything else.
Yeah.
And they collect that data to then track.
And they're like,
you.
Aha, it's you.
Yeah. And so we're talking, you know, kind of a really scary thing. They had, it's, and some people are saying it's the worst setback for privacy in the last 10 years.
Yes. And so, the danger is they can make us do things. They use emotion to control us. And that the danger is, like in Africa, where the Rohingyas were annihilated by another tribe because of what, this was an experiment by Facebook. And Facebook is the most evil thing that was ever invented. And just read these books I mentioned, and you will have to agree. Okay.
All right. Well, cool. Thank you, Bud. Appreciate the book recommendations. That
yeah,
sounds good.
Thank you very much for your show.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for calling in. All right. This is Tech Mud right here on KMUD. Looks like we only got about 4 to 5 minutes left here, so let's take that next caller. Hi, caller.
Hey, good evening. Thanks for the show. And, yeah, I'm glad right before that guy came on, he actually finally started talking about some Linux options. I hear these people calling in, and as far as I heard, you're saying get a new computer, Windows, Apple. Well, you know, the hardware, I'd say probably 95% or more of people out there that get on computers, they don't need a new computer, you know. They just need some old hardware. Yeah. Get on, you check your email, do your little socials, and, yeah, you could run that off a flash drive with Linux. You don't have to be super savvy, but, yeah, it takes a little bit of work. But the community out there for open-source software and Linux is just growing and become incredibly robust, fairly secure, and you can take an old computer, partition it if you want to keep your original operating system. I don't want to get too technical, but I work as an engineer and a contractor, and I've been running nothing but Linux for almost 20 years now.
Hey, good
job. I have some dual boot machines where I keep some Windows for some really minor things, but I also have my big desktop. I built a new computer recently in the last 10 years. Computer technology is amazing. You can put Linux on it, run a virtual machine, run old XP, run AutoCAD, run all this stuff. And but most people, they just want to get on there and browse. You don't need to buy a new computer. There's plenty of hardware out there. Get Linux running. I recommend I run Mint in the cinnamon flavor as far as a distro. Very intuitive. It looks just like everything else everybody's used to.
It is very consumer friendly too. I mean, it's not that. I mean, even installing it is not that hard. And I think I've had people where once they get to the web browser and once you show them what to click on, they're like, oh, okay.
Exactly.
I can do that.
Just plug and chug. They made it so easy. Like, look it up on your smartphone, take your old funky computer. You think it's compromised? Well, they'll show you how to go download their thing, make a live bootable USB. When your computer boots up, push F12 or escape or whatever. Go into your boot off that thing and just say, fucky Windows, wipe and reinstall Linux, and you'll be off browsing the net, and you'll have your emails, and that's all I have to say. So thank you very much.
Right. All right. Hey, thanks. Glad to hear
I'm
that people
fan.
Are using Linux out there. And actually, even for gamers, there's more and more options in Linux. So I'm still kind of living in a Windows universe for that sort
you
of
know,
thing. But virtual machines are crazy, though. It's amazing what you can do.
Yeah, that is amazing. You know, it is kind of Linux. The one downside with Linux that, you know, is unfortunate is that not every software program is written for Linux. And then it has to be written for the version of Linux you're running. So it does make it like, you know, you're not going to be doing, well, someone might call me and tell me wrong, but you're not going to be doing QuickBooks on Linux. You know, you're not going to be.
I wish we could get away. I wish there was an open source version
on Linux.
I hate being. I could do a whole show on hating Intuit. So maybe we'll do
one. Yeah, they have gone down a path that I don't like either. And they're just getting worse.
You think
they
Facebook's
are.
Evil? Try and do it. No.
We got 45
Maybe
seconds.
One day we'll talk about CES, Rick, but it wasn't today.
Right. I didn't get to say all the cool things that I had here and the things that I disliked. So.
We'll mull it over. We'll be back next month. Let's see. I believe I don't have the date in front of me, actually, but we're the third Wednesday of each month. And thank you so much to Larry, our engineer.
It'll be the
19th. Mud.
And
perfect.
This is
Thank
Rick.
You.
You bet.
And have a wonderful evening, folks. Stay safe.
Good night, everyone.
This has been a KMUD podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.